It's a very serious matter to him, and it's a very serious matter to Father God. Do not like to see people injured. They want to see people honest. Do you know where the term fudging came from? Have you ever thought about it? I think about those kinds of things, you know. Where do we start this? I wished I had begun a book a long time ago about little things that we say and how they began. But fudging, do you know, I looked this one up because, of course, I was studying it, so I looked it up on the internet just to find out, where does fudging come from? Where did the term fudging come from? It actually began in the 1600s. It was a merchant ship captain, and his name was Captain Fudge. And he was a very charismatic type of a person. He was a businessman, and boy, he would talk people into using him to move his merchandise on his ship. And his only problem was he had a horrible time with truth. He would make things sound bigger than they were or smaller than they were, and he never told the truth. And so he became nicknamed Lying Fudge. His name became synonymous with lying. That's the truth. I swear. You believe me? And you know, if something were to happen, and he had a good sailing or he had a good journey, then he would grandiose it. He would exaggerate how great he was. If things didn't go well, he boggled something up, messed something up. What he would do then is he would fudge the blame onto somebody else, because it was never Fudge's fault. And he always convincing people to do stuff with him. But nothing was ever the way Fudge said it was. And his life became a joke, synonymous with lying. I had a friend like this in high school. Great guy. He was fun to be around, a very charismatic type of a person. But this guy lied about everything. He never told us the truth. One day, I remember we were sitting in his house, in his dining room, sitting at their table, and he told us this story, and his mother heard it. And it was high school now. And his mother came out there, and she looked at him, and she looked at us, and she says, "You got to be careful what you believe," he says. You know, and I'll never forget. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? When your own mother warns people that you lie. He became a joke. People who lie and fudge and exaggerate, their lives become jokes. But it's no joke to Jesus. Lying and being untruthful and being dishonest is very, very serious to him. It's not a joke. And when we cross the line from the kingdom and cross into darkness and tell untruths, it's a very serious issue to Jesus. How about Christians? Do Christians fudge? Let me find out. Have you ever fudged on your income tax? Don't answer. I really want you to hear my heart here, and hear what I'm trying to say in the depth of this issue. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. God asks a question. He says, "Will a man rob God? Will a man be dishonest with God? Will a man fudge on God?" Then he answers the question. You see, we believers are in a beautiful place concerning the Father. We have access to Him. We are in a place to be deceptive about the most holy of things. And God's answer to His own question was, "Yet you have fudged on me, yet you have been dishonest with me in your giving, in your tithes and your offerings." What's happened is we rob Father. We don't rob God, we rob Father. And it's a very, very sensitive issue. But it comes out of our hearts. Christians fudge. We fudge on very, very holy things. So Jesus addresses this. And Jesus addressed the issue of fudging or lying or being dishonest. He addressed it through the topic of vows and oaths. We would call it promises and agreements. We promise we'll do things. We agree we will do things, and then we don't do them. They call it vows and oaths. And he references very, very... There's a lot of scriptures. He references many scriptures, but I just want to read a few of them to us so we'll all be on the same page and know what we're talking about. And the first one I want you to read with me is Matthew 5:33, right there where you're at, to see what Jesus first says, and then we'll look at the references that he gives us in Deuteronomy and in Jeremiah and in Leviticus. We'll look at these quickly. So in Matthew 5:33, he says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep your oaths and that you have made to the Lord.'" Jesus says it's important once you've said you're going to do something to do it. And the references that I want to just show you is in Deuteronomy 10:20. They'll be on the screen for you. You can take notes. He says, "Fear the Lord," Jesus does. "Fear the Lord, your God, and serve Him. Hold fast to Him." And look at this. "And take your oaths in His name." He encouraged people to take oaths in the name of the Lord. Hold fast to Him and take your oaths. Now, what I saw here is that what God really wants us to do is let people know that we're holding fast to God and how we become a witness for the Lord. That we really, as we hold fast to Him, as we serve Him, as we worship Him, then people will see us and we become a witness to Him. We become a witness, and initially what God wants us to do is let people know through the oaths that we have taken that we are holding fast to God. That we are His and He is us. And then another one in Jeremiah 12:16. "And they," now the "they" here are people that have wandered away from God. He specifically mentions Judah. And also the "they" are the outsiders, the neighbors is what NIV Bible says. And they have come back in. So it would be the heathen that have come into God, the lost that have come into God. And this is what he's talking about. "And they learn well the ways of my people and swear by my name, saying, 'As surely as the Lord lives, even as they once taught my people to swear by Baal, then they will be established.'" Now look at that. "They will be established among my people." God said that when people see you and that you're holding fast to me and that when you're a part of my people, then they will help you establish in the land. That if you do this correctly, it will work for you. If you swear by name, my name, and you keep your vows and your oaths, then you will be established. It will help you to establish. It will help develop trust from people. It will help people know that you are of me and that I am helping you. It will be a tremendous witness for my kingdom when you take oaths in my name. Except there's a problem. When oaths were taken and they weren't kept, it became a falsehood, a lie, a fib, a fudge. It became an exaggeration or a minimization. And when they took the name of the Lord, they swore by God's name, but they didn't do it. It was a problem. And so we see this in Leviticus 19:12. "Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." The word profane there means corrupted. You have corrupted my name. When people know that you're a person that belongs to me, that you're a people of God, you're a person of God, and you swear falsely, you corrupt my name. You make me look really bad. And you messed the whole bunch up. tell you a story I've told you before. This was in 86, 87, 88, right in those years. We had just moved to this city, to this region, and once a week or so, Judy and I would go play golf. And we found this really nice little golf course that we liked to go and play at, and we really enjoyed going there. And so I asked the owner one day if he had a special deal for preachers. I said, I'm a preacher, and where I moved from, they had a special deal. You know, they would encourage preachers to come during the week, and they would give them a cut in price, and so preachers would go and play together, and it was a good business move for them. And I just thought maybe most golf courses did that. So I asked him. I said, "Do you do that?" And I thought, you know, he would at least be nice and say no. His eyes flared up, his face turned red, and he cussed. He said, "If I'd have known you were a blankety blank preacher, I would have charged you more. And maybe I wouldn't even let you come and play here." And I started backing up. And I thought initially he was cutting up and teasing, you know. But he was not. He was serious. And then he began to give me some more information. And you see, in the years of 86 and 87 and 88 is when PTL was going through their troubles. And Jim Baker through his troubles. And Jimmy Swaggart through his troubles. And so he had lumped me in with all of them. They had not kept their oaths. They had not kept their vows. And so therefore we were all bad. And so when we make an oath, whether it's with the Lord's name, and Jesus is going to talk about the other, when we don't even include the Lord's name in it, but when we don't keep the oath, we corrupt His name. We make Him look bad. Not only have we been deceitful, but we've damaged the kingdom of heaven. So the Pharisees were responsible for settling civil matters in the day that Jesus spoke this. It was their responsibility in the synagogues to take these civil issues between people when oaths were broken and promises were broken, that it was their job to settle the issues. And so they did. And here's how they did it. If a person promised, made a vow, made an oath with the name of God in it and didn't keep the vow, that was a very serious deal. I mean, they went through big trouble. The Pharisees judged them harshly because they used the name of the Lord. They swore by the name of the Lord. So what people began to do, rather than swear by the name of the Lord, and what the Pharisees began to encourage people to do, was that don't swear by the name of the Lord. Don't swear in God's name. Don't swear your oaths in His name. Swear by something close to Him, like heaven. You know, you associate those two, don't you? Don't you? When you think of heaven, you think of God. So there's that association. You know, you get real close to the truth. You can cross your fingers, right? You can go to the bank, can't you? And ask for a loan, and they bring you the loan. Okay, I go to the bank. I'm Pastor Delbert Young at LifeGate Church. They know who I am. Oh, yes, sir, we know you. I need some money. Would you make me a loan? Sure, we will. Bring out the paper. And as I sign it, I cross my fingers and put my hand behind my back, and I sign the paper. That means I don't have to pay, right? I got close to it. What would they think about me if I didn't pay? What would they think about this church? The next time you go in there and they ask you, "Where do you go to church?" "Well, I go to the Life Gate, Pastor Dover." Oh. And their eyes flare. And profanity comes. And, you know, we're all lumped together. So Jesus is addressing this. So they said, don't swear by God's name. Swear by something close, like heaven. Are by, like earth, because, you know, the earth is His footstool, right? And the earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world that they that dwell therein. The Jews are told that, so that's good. What about Jerusalem? Jerusalem, you know, that's God's city. That's a special place. Let's swear by Jerusalem. Let's swear by our lives. Let's swear by our children's lives. I'll never forget. Been deer hunting one day with my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law did not have a good history of truth-telling. And we come back from hunting, and he was telling this elaborate story about how this big buck ran by him and his gun jammed or something. I can't remember what exactly how the story went, but we all knew he wasn't telling the truth. I mean, I was close enough where I could see him. I'd have seen the deer, you know. I mean, it didn't happen. I didn't say that, but his wife said it. Oh, it did not happen that way. Oh, I swear it did. I swear on my life and on my kid's life. And I'm sitting there thinking, why'd you do that? Why did you just do that? Why do we feel like we have got to do something to make people believe us? There is a problem if we have to do that. So this is what Jesus is here addressing. Don't get close to the truth. Don't cross your fingers. Don't fudge. Just let yes be yes and no be no. And this is what he says. So let's read the passage now in Matthew chapter 5. I said all that to get us to it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard it was said. Now Jesus has begun each one of his righteous elements with this kind of a statement. You've heard them say, but you've heard them said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all. If you've got to make people believe you, there's a problem. Do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything. Would you say anything back to me? Anything. One more time. Anything. Anything beyond this comes from outer space. Where does it come from? The evil one. Exaggeration, coloring the truth, a little white lie, a fib, a fudge, a minimization of the truth. Anything other than the truth is coming from the evil one. We have crossed the line and we've allowed the father of the world, the devil, to speak through us. We should be allowing our mouths to speak for Father God. But what we're doing instead is speaking for the evil one. We're speaking his language. He is the father of lies. I want to read that to you. Let's look at John 8:44. You got that in your lap? Read it or not, it's on the screen. You belong to your father, the devil. Now, he's talking here to the Pharisees and liars. He's talking to people that were calling him a liar, calling Jesus a liar. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. We have swapped kingdoms. We've allowed the devil to use us. And fibs do not come from outer space. Fibs come from the evil one. And then from our hearts. Isn't that amazing? Is it not amazing what's in our hearts? They're despitefully, despicably, they're wicked. And who can know them? We don't even know our own hearts sometimes. We don't even know the dishonesty we're capable of sometimes. They come from our hearts if we allow the devil to use our mouths. If we need to grandiose, if we need to minimize, if we need to swap blame, we have a problem, and the problem's in our heart. Let me show you this in Matthew 15:18. Jesus says these things come from the heart. But evil words come from an evil heart and defile the man who says them. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, fibbing, fudging, exaggeration, minimizing, lying, and slander. They don't come from outer space. Stuff comes out of our heart. We cross the line. So, How do we fix the problem? Well, first, I think we have to realize that there is a problem. We are so bombarded on every side with this stuff, it becomes natural. This guy that I told you about earlier, my friend in high school, I mean, it seemed he couldn't help but lie. It was just what he did. He was a liar. And he became synonymous with lying. And if our lives are that way, we have got to stop and take a look. And the first thing that we've got to do to fix the problem is recognize there is a problem. And the way we can do this is by looking at what people think about us. Why do I have to exaggerate? Why do I have to cause people or help people believe me? Let me tell you, there's a history. There's a history. Do you know why they do a credit history on people before they'll loan them money? The reason is simply this, is because your history determines your future. If you didn't pay them, you're probably not going to pay us. And so what we do then to correct our credit history is start today. We can't do anything about our history, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Sufficient today is what we need to think about. And so we begin today to pay the bills on time. We begin today to do what we're supposed to do. We begin today to be honest. Within a couple of years, our credit report has gone from horrible to good. And that's exactly what happens with truth-telling. If we find ourselves needing to convince people that we're telling the truth, then we need to start today with being honest and telling the truth. Letting yes be yes and no be no. Simple. I'm supposed to be in a meeting at a specific time, then I need to be at that meeting at that specific time. That develops credibility. If I forget the meeting or I'm late at the meeting or whatever, then that develops, I don't know if I can believe him to be here or not. Paying my bills on time. If I say I'm going to spank my kid, I need to spank my kid. We need to do what we say we're going to do. Yes be yes and no be no. And we began to be credible and honest people. And it works into all of our lives. This is just how it works. So what we got to do is begin today. My history determines if I'm believable. If I'm not believable, it means that there's something in my past that caused you to doubt me. I have done something that makes me a person that you can't trust, that you can't believe. Dishonesty and being untruthful is a negative human trait. Lying is a universal problem, accepted and allowed. Christians fudge. Religion does not stop dishonesty. We are literally lied to and bombarded on every side. Pills that'll burn off 10 pounds. Hair color that will make your hair thick and shiny. Grills that'll make you master chefs. We know none of that is true. But let's not forget, you'll be lied to today. But let's not forget where that's coming from and who's the father of the lie. Let's not forget that anything other than the absolute truth is coming from the evil person, the evil one. And let's not forget how Jesus sees that and what he said about that. Matthew 5:37. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So, where do you and I align with this? How do we do here? If I gave you a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being absolute lie, total dishonesty, and 10 being absolute truth. Where would you align? Where would you fall right now today in there? 8? Maybe 9? That's not good enough. Jesus expects a 10 every day. On every subject, on every sentence, just let yes be yes and no be no. be an honest person. You bring glory to Him. You bring glory to the kingdom. And you make us all look good. That's living in the kingdom of heaven. That's kingdom honesty. Let's pray. Father, we love You so much. Lord, I want to be a righteous man. I want people, when Delbert Young's name is mentioned, that they think of a righteous person, an honest person. I want them to think of a person who does not talk about people, who does not have lustful thoughts, who works on maintaining his marriage, a person that is honest, a person, Lord God, that is able to turn the cheek and not be a retaliative person, a person, Lord God, who can love his enemies and pray for them. I want to be a righteous man. And Lord, You've spoken to me through this. And Lord, I pray I've communicated it so that others have heard it as well. The seriousness of what happens. Where things that we say that aren't truthful, where they come from, and what they do to us. So I pray today for every heart here. Let us see that righteous people tell the truth. And anything other than that is of the devil. And it's just wrong. Help us, Jesus. Let us be lights and salt in this region for You. Let us make each other look good. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that touched our hearts. It's up to you, I guess. Whether you want to do this, I want to be a righteous person. I want to have the blessings of God in my life. And I know you do as well. So, we're going to pray for people. Maybe you need to pray about this. Maybe you just need hands laid on you and devils cast out or whatever that it might be. But it's not the devil, it's your heart. And then the devil. So let's don't blame him too quickly. Let's pray for people. Let's pray for whatever you might need now, whether you need a healing in your body or something happening in your family, a better job, whatever's going on in your life. Maybe you need to pray for your spouse. Maybe you need to pray for your children. Maybe you need to pray for your parents, whatever that it is. We want to take time now and just minister to everybody that needs prayer. And not let you go out of here not having what you need prayed for. So we do that right now. So while I'm praying, you be coming. You come on down, we'll be praying for you. Father, thank You. Thank You for this wonderful day. It's a day You've made. We want to honor You, Lord, in everything we do. We want to honor You. The words we speak, the lives we live, we want to honor You. I want to be a righteous person. I want to be a righteous man. When people think of me, I want them to think of a righteous person and a good man. Lord, bless us now. As we minister to these people, Your treasures, the apples of Your eye. Lord, as we touch their lives, Lord, we pray You'll do what they need done. In Jesus' name, amen.